And welcome back, everybody. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock. Time to have Tad Hoslip on right now for sporting news. We're going to do some NFL conversation, and he is in attendance tonight at the national championship game, although we all know that Central Florida is the official champion. Are you good with that, Tad, with what they did there?
I think it's pretty funny. I mean, look, if you're a fan of Central Florida, I think you have every right to claim yourself a national champion. Now, obviously, it's not going to be recognized by anything legitimate, but who cares? I mean, look, this is a good team that went undefeated, and at the end of the day, they beat a team that beat the two teams that are playing tonight in Atlanta. So it's fun. You know, I like how they did it. I think it's funny. I don't think it harms anybody. They went undefeated, and they deserve the recognition for it, and they deserve to treat themselves. I'm fine with it.
Ted, let's take a peek at tonight's game, Alabama-Georgia. Certainly around here in our Midwest outpost, not a whole lot of buzz. We've heard from plenty of people already, said they're not even going to tune in for it. We saw the SEC, all-SEC title game, 5 years back with LSU-Alabama. It was poorly rated. Do you expect to see something similar when the overnights come in tomorrow morning?
Yeah, probably. I do think, you know, what might help this is, you know, the intrigue of the Alabama dynasty and the kind of the senior-junior thing you have going on with Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. But, yeah, I mean, look, if Oklahoma would have made this game, it would have obviously have been more national interest, not just because of the regionality, but because you have a Heisman winner, right, and Baker Mayfield, you know, playing in the national championship game. So there's a lot of built-in intrigue there. But I do think this has a chance to be a very, very good football game. And I do really think that these are the two best teams in the country. You know, it boils down to it. I know you could probably still argue Oklahoma based on the way that game went. But Georgia's certainly right there. So, you know, because you have the two best teams in the country, you know, I can understand, you know, why someone on, you know, on the West Coast might not be as interested. But if you just want to watch a really good football game between two really good teams, this game will be very, very entertaining for you.
All right, then. So the question is this going to be low scoring, or are we going to get a game similar to the points being put on the board like we saw in the Rose Bowl?
You know, it's tough. We at Sporting News, we did picks, and I made my pick. And I picked a relatively high-scoring game. I picked 35-24 in favor of Alabama. I think it might be a low-scoring first half, you know, while these teams are kind of, you know, getting the hang of each other because they didn't play each other in a regular season. But, you know, then maybe there's a couple big turnovers or maybe a pick six or a fumble return. Alabama is kind of known for that. In the second half, they just kind of wear down an offense, then they capitalize on those opportunities. So I see some fireworks kind of in the second half. You know, maybe a slow start, maybe just a couple scores in the first half, and then, you know, it just kind of chugs along in the third and fourth quarter. It's kind of similar to what's on the Rose Bowl, but the Rose Bowl, of course, is just kind of back and forth, you know, the entire game. This maybe kind of builds up, and I think you might see a special fourth quarter with Alabama getting maybe one or two big plays on defense to swing it their way.
So the way that Georgia's built, you know, throughout the time we've seen teams that have been able to compete with Alabama, beat Alabama. It's the up-tempo. It's a quarterback that can move a little bit. Georgia is a carbon copy, really, of what Alabama is. Is there anything different that Georgia needs to do? Can they get away and make this a four-quarter game by playing their style and playing smash-mouth football? Or are we going to have to see more wrinkles than we have out of this Georgia offense?
Well, I definitely think you're going to have to see some sort of wrinkles. Look, Georgia's not going to be able to do what they did against Oklahoma. They're not going to be able to line up in the I formation and just run zone and trap and power, whatever they want to do. They're not going to get the running lanes they got against this Crimson Tide defense. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, you know, you're going to have to get some wrinkles in there. Maybe, you know, a little bit of wildcat, like you saw how Georgia won the Rose Bowl. And, you know, Jake Fromm's going to have to make some plays in this game. He's going to have to use his feet a little bit to escape some pressure. We know that this Alabama defense loves to bring pressure. I guess, if there's anything going for Georgia when it comes to that game plan is the fact that they have Kirby Smart, right? So Kirby Smart is very familiar with what Nick Saban and this team likes to do defensively, obviously. So he's familiar with their blitzing schemes. He knows their tendencies. So with that in mind, you know, maybe they're able to scheme against it and kind of counter that a little bit. But I think there's no question that they have to go away, not necessarily go away from, but they're going to have to work in, bake in some wrinkles here and get away from just that I formation lineup and pound the ball with Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle.
All right, then let me follow up then on that Alabama defense. They lost another linebacker. Jennings is not going to play, done for the year with an injury. Does this Alabama team have weaknesses in that linebacker area, or are they just so talented they just plug somebody else in?
You know, part of the reason I made the pick that I made was, you know, if you just break down the number of future pro players on each roster, Alabama just simply has more, and that includes the depth on defense at the linebacker position. I think if there was going to be a weakness in this defense, I think it would have been much more obvious during the regular season when these linebackers were going down left and right. And I know they have their issues on defense at certain points in the season. I know they struggled offensively even toward the end of the season, but it's the only program in the country where a starter goes down, and you don't necessarily worry too much about it. Now, of course, that depends on the starter, but because this team is so deep and because this team recruits so well, my friend and I were driving down here. We were joking. You know, he's a South Carolina fan, and he said that he would take all of Alabama's backups over all of South Carolina starters, and he's pretty sure it would be a better team, and I think he's right. So that's just kind of the program that they have, that they've built over the last decade and a half, and it's just a machine. And like you said, you know, when someone goes down, it doesn't seem to stop it, and I think that's going to be the case again.
All right, Tad, let's jump over to a little NFL talk. Wild Card Weekend in the books, and we'll start it with the bang around here. Kansas City up 21-3, and of course, lose the game 22-21. What does that say in your mind to Andy Reid? And he's got a long contract. He's built up plenty of goodwill, at least during the regular season. But your thoughts on Andy Reid and the Chiefs now going forward, what's going to be a different look, certainly, as it looks like Alex Smith will be moving on.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting offseason coming up in Kansas City. There's no doubt about it. And look, I like Andy Reid. He's very respected as a head coach around the league. And you know, I think the world of him as a coach. And I think he deserves to stay as long as he wants, frankly. Now, the troublesome part is this has happened before, right? I know the loss to the Colts has been referenced many times, and you guys don't need to hear about that again. But, you know, just the way this game went, it was just really, really weird. You always are going to wonder what happens, what's different, if Travis Kelce is healthy for the second half. You know, what dynamic does he bring? How does he change the game? Because, you know, if Kansas City picks up a few first downs in that fourth quarter, you know, just a few more, makes a few more plays, they hold on and they win the game and they're playing in the divisional round. So there's a lot of what-ifs coming out of that game. In my opinion, too many what-ifs to really make a final judgment on Andy Reid. But like you said, you know, the changes in the offseason, you're going to have to basically rebuild the offensive coaching staff. And like you said, you're likely going to have a new quarterback, and that's probably going to be Patrick Mahomes. And look, if this scouting staff did as well as we think it did, and if Patrick Mahomes is who we think he is, it might work out pretty well for Kansas City. But, you know, there's a lot of question marks going into the offseason, no doubt about it. And the way that the season ended, I can understand why there wouldn't be very much offseason.
All right, if you're pretty well sold then that Alex Smith won't be there, which team that believes they have a terrific chance to make a Super Bowl run grabs Alex Smith if all they really think they need is a good veteran QB?
Man, that's a good question. I've seen Bills rumors thrown around because under the idea that Alex Smith would be an upgrade from Tyrod Taylor, and we just saw what the Bills were able to do this season with a new coaching staff, with a roster that a lot of people thought wasn't even good enough to even come close to making the playoffs, and then they end up making the playoffs. So that's one I've heard. I think Denver makes a lot of sense in certain ways. I know that's in division, so, you know, maybe Kansas City isn't as willing to do that. But, you know, as far as teams the amount of teams in the NFL who are you know, really in trouble at the quarterback position is relatively small now. I mean, you have the Jets, you're probably going to have the Bills, you have the Broncos, and I think out of those teams, based on what we've seen recently, the Broncos are probably the team that's best built right now. If you just had a quarterback, you would think that changes everything. So, you know, that's probably a team. I just don't know if it's realistic to think that the Chiefs would deal Alex Smith to the Broncos. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, a lot of teams going to be out there. You got Kirk Cousins certainly sitting out there. Going to be an interesting offseason with what we have. All right, let's take a peek forward here. We're talking right now with our man, Tad Hasselip from the Sporting News. Look around the NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at Tad Hasselip. Tad, let's jump in a little bit here to the divisional round. Some big favorites there, Tennessee, New England. What road team do you give the best chance taking Atlanta away, since they are the favorite? Of the other three games, what of the dogs on the road do you like the most to pull off an upset?
You were going to give me an easy question there, and then you took it away from me at the last second. No, I really like the way this Saints team is playing. And I know Minnesota has been really good all season. I just think that you have two really good teams going up against each other in a big playoff game. We know how much quarterback matters in those games, and the way Drew Brees played against the Panthers in the wild card round tells me, you know, that he's maybe even stepping up his game a little bit more than what he was. And he was great in the regular season. I know he wasn't putting up the numbers that you're used to seeing from Drew Brees as far as just volume, but the efficiency was there. The completion percentage was there. And he's playing really well. I just think this team is built really well. The only concern you have with New Orleans is the injuries. With Andres Pete, you know, going down, and we know, as we've said multiple times and we'll say it forever, it's not just the best teams, it's the healthiest team to advance at this time of the year. So that's the only concern I have with New Orleans, but I really like their chances to go into Minneapolis, another dome stadium where you know they're comfortable. They played there at the beginning of the year, and to maybe avenge that loss they had at the beginning of the season to the Vikings.
Okay, Trent didn't ask it, but I'll ask it for him. The Chicago Bears are Trent's NFL team. Now they have a brand new head coach in Matt Nagy. Where are you on that?
I'm sorry, what was the last part?
Where are you with Matt Nagy being hired now as the Bears head coach?
Oh, I think Trent, you know, I think you should be excited as a Bears fan.
All look, right.
Yeah,
Trent's not real excited.
Look, this is a very, you know, we always kind of reference the NFL as a copycat league for multiple reasons. And I think this is a prime example of it because you saw what the Rams just did with Sean McVay and bringing along Jared Goff and really, really sparking that offense to the point that it made that team a legitimate playoff contender and a threat to advance in the playoffs, even though they weren't able to get it done against Atlanta. So you have the same thing potentially going on here in Chicago with Mitchell Trubisky teaming up with an offensive-minded coach. I think this was the clear direction that the Bears needed to go in. And look, what he did in Kansas City this year with that offense was impressive. You know, he gets the play-calling duties, and all of a sudden they revert back to being good again. And you guys know all about that, obviously. So I think it's as good a hire as Chicago could have had here. I think it's a perfect person. It's the perfect time. And they're trying to replicate what you saw in Los Angeles. And this roster isn't terrible, you know. So I think you have a decent chance of seeing a pretty quick turnaround in Chicago.
All right, last thing for me. I'll let Jim finish up with you, Tad. New England, over the weekend, there was the article on ESPN. It was long. It didn't say a whole lot about it. How much belief do you have in that article? And to me, it feels like this might be something that just catapults the team, galvanizes them together even closer, and it catapults them forward. Your takeaway from that article from ESPN over the weekend?
Yeah, you know, I generally believe in the rule that when there's smoke, there is some sort of fire. So there is probably some sort of, you know, power struggle within that organization, but I think that's natural, right? When you've been doing it for so long and you've been successful for so long. I just think that if we're talking about, you know, the three powers here, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, I think those guys have so much respect for each other. And at the end of the day, guys, all they care about is winning. They make that clear. I know they say it in their press conferences and it becomes cliche and it's coach speak, but it really is the truth of this organization. That's all they care about. So I trust those three guys. So whatever issues they have, they'll set them aside. You know what they always do in the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think they can take this Tennessee team lightly, and they won't. You know, they know better than to do that in the postseason. So I think they'll be fine, definitely for this round, and more than likely set up the game of the year after the game of the year against the Steelers yet again.
Tad, I'll let you go on this one. The NFL ratings for this past season down a little bit. And as they broke it down in demographic style, it was younger folks in that 18 to 25 category and white men who turned away from the NFL. Is this a major problem now for the National Football League, or is it a blip on the radar?
Can you repeat the first part again? I'm so sorry. Out here in Atlanta, it's raining and it's harder to hear you. Just the first part.
That's okay. The NFL ratings were down for the past season, and when they broke it down demographically, it was young people, 18 to 25, that had made a conscious decision not to watch the games, and white males... Okay, if you got the second part, fine. Yes, go ahead and answer that question. Is it a blip on the radar? Is it or not?
No, I think this is a legitimate thing, and I don't know. I don't want to necessarily call it a problem. I think you're just generally seeing that trend in across television, not just sports. I think the NBA is pretty much the only exception where ratings are rising. But there are so many mediums, you know, to watch games, and attention spans generally are shrinking among younger generations, you know, younger than myself. So it's an issue that the NFL has to look out for obvious reasons. You know, that's, you know, all the TV money is in the NFL, and they, you know, really can't afford to lose all that, because that's really what has ballooned the NFL into what it is right now. So it's not something the league can take lightly. And this, like you said, has been a two-year trend. And, you know, I don't really see a way that it's, I don't know how you do really rejuvenate this. You know, you can maybe make the decline a little bit slower, and that's probably your best bet. But no, I do think this is a legitimate issue for the league, and I think they're going to have to take another long look at this offense. What can they do, you know, to get people to watch more games? You know, maybe they ease back on red zone subscriptions so the people have to sit around and actually watch these games, and maybe they're not, you know, because speaking from experience, you know, if you watch NFL Red Zone, you know, by the time you get to the Sunday night football game, you're just fatigued. I mean, you've been watching so many games, and, you know, it's just really not as interesting anymore. You're not, you know, they always say waiting all day for Sunday night. Well, you're not. You know, you have action all day, and you're not really waiting for anything. So there's a lot of things I think the league can do, and I think they will be very serious in trying to take those steps to reverse the trend.
Tad, enjoy the game tonight. We'll be talking again soon. Couple rounds of the playoffs left, and you'll be watching the national championship game this evening. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tad Haslip checking in with us here, Jimmy B and TC. So, Jimmy B, we made our picks, of course, on Friday. Anything changing at all for you? You in the same kind of boat as you were on Friday? Any changes that you would make?
I suppose that I would probably lean more toward Alabama, particularly with what Tad talked about. With the way Georgia lines up, they won't be able to use every down as that power running play. But for some reason, Trent, I just think there's going to be an upset tonight. And so I'm going to stay with Georgia. Look, Alabama, are they good enough to blow Georgia out? Yeah, they are. If Georgia wins this game, I think it's a close game. And it, I don't know if it comes down to a blocked field goal in overtime again, but I think it's like a field goal game, something like that, if Georgia wins.
Good stuff. Well, we got Wolfgang coming up next. Jimmy B will then join the program as we wrap things up. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. It's Jimmy B and TC. Welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC here, 1700 KBGG with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Right now, going to talk some Hawkeyes and we'll vent for a little bit with our man Wolfgang Hawkeye from HawkeyeNation.com. You hear him on the Instant Reaction podcast from time to time, and he joins us here today. What's going on, Wolfgang?
Just love what we're looking at for the next 2.5 months, Trent. How about you?
Yeah, this is gonna be a long one. You got Iowa 0-5. You got you and I 0-4. You got Iowa State 0-3, and Kansas on deck tomorrow. Well, we do have the Drake Bulldogs. Still, it's Drake. It's a little bit more difficult to get into that frame of mind and get excited about that. We're looking like a long, long college basketball season here in the state. So what are we looking for? What gets you excited here to get you to the end of the regular season? And when they bow out in the Big Ten tournament, whenever that is, what's going to get you through that time?
Improvement. I want to see improvement. Okay, if we watched that game yesterday, Trent, we're sitting there watching Swiss cheese defense, and that's actually an insult to Swiss cheese. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Watching what we saw, whether it was man or zone, I don't even want to insult Swiss cheese like I just did. I don't want to beef with Swiss cheese because that was pathetic, absolutely pathetic, Trent.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, I mean, there's no way around it. It was awful, awful football and or football basketball. It was awful defense, and there are things that
you saw that, Trent. Right? It didn't matter man or zone. It mm-hmm. was like, okay, so they go to zone, so they get past, they get in the lane with the dribble. Mm-hmm. Then they just have some number 23. I forget his name. Looks like a good player. Gets in there. Flashes, boom, Cook. I didn't realize how bad Cook sucked at defense. Did you?
No. I last year he wasn't good. I thought you would see a big improvement this year. That was part of the reason that I thought this team was going to be better. as I thought there was going to be a step forward from him on that end of the floor, and it hasn't happened, and it hasn't been close, and you have big bodies. We know the deficiencies of this team, but a lot of times it's effort. You know, Bohannon's not a good defender, but at least for the most part, the kid tries. He puts forth effort. There's so many guys, though, on this team that the effort isn't there, and that's what gets frustrating to watch. Just getting blow-by after blow-by, over-help, it's not in sync. It doesn't seem like they know what they want to do, what they're trying to do, and that's a frustrating component here.
No, and why I was so mad, Trent, is before that game, a family member, he's 19 yet, college guy, Oklahoma fan, doesn't know much about Iowa, so we're watching the Oklahoma-West Virginia game. And we're watching West Virginia's defense looking at that going, look at that effort. Are you kidding me? Like, who would want to play against that West Virginia defense? They front on the full court press. Then I don't even know what the hell they're doing on defense in the half court. I mean, it made Trey Young, he started getting all panicky. Did you see that game?
Yes, it did. He got after him. And the thing is, you know, Carter is an unbelievable on-the-ball defender. He's really, really good. But he was in foul trouble through most of that game. He didn't defend him for a lot of the game, but it was a team effort. It was making him uncomfortable. I don't know if you watched last week the Texas Tech victory over Kansas. That was one that I was just dumbfounded of the way that they competed, that they dug in each and every possession, time in and time out. Those are the things that you want to see out of a squad. And this Iowa team is so disjointed, and there isn't that component there. It leads to so much frustration trying to watch this team.
And I'm not expecting us to be West Virginia defense, Trent. I'm not expecting that. But I want, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine. I tell you how most of my friends and people around me are positive. I do, talking to a friend that I was, you know, high school friends with and don't see much because he's not, you know, in the area anymore. And he is totally negative on me. I mean, he's tweeting at me. He wants Fran. He says Fran's gone in 2019. And I'm just like, I can't go that far. I absolutely can't because I am buying stock in what the recruits we have coming in, the forwards that we have, the guards that we'll have, and hopefully we get this Waterloo kid, point guard. It's just beyond me. And I listened to John Miller and Dace yesterday, and they did a podcast. And Dace brought up, again, like what we brought up 1,000 times, why can't we get a point guard? He could get it. I mean, he's got connections out east. Why can't we get, I mean, it's obvious. Everybody knows. You don't have to be like a smart basketball guy to know you need guards. You need quick guards. You need guys that can get into the lane, disrupt defenses. Why is it that hard for Fran? It's not a guy that can't look at talent and see it because he does get it, but he doesn't get his second guy, his third guy, his fourth guy. It seems like he puts all his eggs in one basket. Is that fair?
I get where you're going there. That it's all right. We got this guy that we're after, and they haven't done a good enough job of having a backup plan. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, and something that frankly I hadn't thought a whole lot about. But you're right because he identified, you know, we've talked so much about Tyler Ewells. That's the guy that always steps up into the forefront. You know, mentioned last week when they're playing Michigan, I know Xavier Simpson was a guy that they identified early. They are on these guys early. They sometimes are the first big Power 5 offer that they have, and you build a long relationship. But when it goes bad, they don't have that backup plan in place, and it leads to, well, all right, we're going to try Christian Williams. And we've gone back and forth on Christian Williams and now obviously transferring out of the program. But that's then your backup plan. We'll try to develop this 6'5 guy that has some length and turn him into a Roy Devin Marble. That's what we'll try to do. And it leads down the road of, well, now Brady Ellingson's your backup point guard. Or, hey, Maishi Daly can play a little bit of point guard. And now next year, C.J. Frederick, you know, he can play a little point guard for you. The backup plan isn't good enough. I think that's a fair point, absolutely.
Trent, you have to have too many point guards, okay, right? You have to err on the side of having too many, not going, oh, my gosh, we don't have a point guard. That is just basic. I'm sorry. That's maybe that's just me dumbing down basketball. but you have to have too many point guards. We barely have. I love Bohannon, but again, we'll agree, he's not really a true point guard. I love him and want him on this team. Freaking love it every time the ball goes out of his hands and shoots. I just love it. But he's, oh man, I don't want to bash him, okay? And this, it's just, it's hard to watch Trent, and I want to make an apology right here on 1700. Do you mind if I do that, Trent?
Go right ahead, go right ahead.
I like to, when I'm right, and I'm right, you know, I like to brag, and when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I would like to make an apology right now, and this is a local guy, okay? This is, maybe some of you know him, maybe some of you were friends with him, maybe some of you taught him or coached him. The greatest basketball player in the history of Iowa basketball, Peter Jock.
Okay. The greatest ever.
What?
He
must be. He must be. What the hell's happening?
So he is the difference between this team being a bubble team and this team going winless in conference play.
Am I wrong? Do we owe him an apology? Because I feel like we all said, oh, yeah, he was a nice player. You know, you look at him, and then we all pointed out to the fact when he was hurt, and we actually played well, and Ellison came in and played point guard a little bit here and there. We all looked good, and we all poo-pooed Peter Jock. Man, I don't even know. Is that guy the best ever?
Apparently. Apparently. The difference between him and everybody else on this squad, they return, what, 85% of their scoring from a year ago? It had the look of a team that was going to be good enough, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked with this team. Wolfgang, I asked you, you know, what is it going to be improving? You talked about improvement out of this squad. Let's go to Fran McCaffrey, and let's go to last night. You know, we talked last night about
him. Oh, my God. Was that crazy? Trent, were you cussing? I mean, I know we're not going to make the tournament, so we're not, you know, as crazy as we would be.
Mm-hmm.
But that reffing. Okay, and I know you, okay, all you guys go to radio school, and you can't blame reffing, I understand that. I didn't go to radio school, I can't. I'm sorry, that was absolutely freaking pathetic, Trent. That was, and I'm going to admit it. And you guys don't like to talk about it, that's fine. I get that. I'll bring something else to the table here. That was pathetic. It was a joke. I thought about going to reffing school and being like a Brent Bloom, we brought him on, he's a ref, and talks all about this. I would love to, you know more about the game and get it like he does, like hardcore, and be able to break it down like that. But it's at some point, it's like, yeah, reffing matters. And that was a joke, what happened yesterday. Fran McCaffrey getting thrown out of the game. Man, let me look. I will look at him. I bet you he couldn't bench 200 pounds, right?
Probably not, yeah. Yeah.
And let me tell you what. If he wanted to fight me, I'd run. The adrenaline that runs through his body when he's angry scares me.
He gets fired up. He gets
fired
up.
Oh, my God. It's insane, Trent. It's like, in all reality, Barta has to talk to his assistant coaches and go over Fran's head and say, you get in the way, you get in the middle of Fran and the ref, no matter what. I know Fran may get mad. He may push you. He may get angry with you. You get in the middle of him and the ref no matter what. Because whatever he does, he flexes or whatever he does, you know, when he kind of almost touches the ref like that,
mm-hmm.
Something bad is going to happen. I'm not joking, man. And I like Fran. I want him to be around, and I believe in him like others don't. But something bad is going to happen if he, just when he flexes, you know, you can, you know, boost out your chest and actually look like you chest bumped the ref, that's not going to go well. It's already happened once, right?
Right, yeah.
It's just, you know, I understand. I mean, he's passionate. I love it. But then you look at his sons, Trent, are tweeting yesterday. Connor is cussing. He said, didn't he say BS?
Yeah.
And actually spelled it out. You know, and I love it. I love his passion. And I told you, that guy would make a huge difference. And we agreed, and now he's gone, and boom, season's done. Then Patrick, the high school kid, what, top 40 recruit, Trent?
Yes.
Okay, you look at him, and he's coming out defending his dad, and I love it, man. I love that they have each other's back as a family. It makes me so happy, but you cannot do this. You can't do this, guys, and Fran has to talk to them. He has to talk to them. Then Bohannon comes out on Twitter. For those of you that are on Twitter, Bohannon makes a joke. It's a funny, right? But to me, it comes off as, hey, your Swiss cheese defense that isn't even, quite frankly, it's not even Swiss cheese. It's not even cheese. It's cut the cheese defense. Okay? It's fart. It sucks. Okay? Do your job, Fran. Get them to play D, and we might have something. If not, this season is already lost, probably, for the most part, unless we just do something in the Big Ten tourney, which is crazy, which could happen. It's happened before with Iowa and Alford and blah, blah, blah. It could happen. But we need to start building for next year in offense. And what do we have coming in, Trent? Do we have the guard that we need? Do we? I'm going to ask you, do we have the guards that we need for next year to be, for us to be relevant and good, and because we have talent on this team, it's just in the wrong places. Do you believe?
Well, they're bringing in a top 40 player that is a guard, that is a two guard in Joe Weisskamp, so you would think so. Now, early in his career, he was known more as a shooter. His game has expanded. He's added more to his game. He's a kid that can get to the rim. He has good athleticism. He has really everything that you need. You know, Matt Gayton's a pretty good player, right? He's a lot further along than Matt Gaetans was at this point of his career. So similar, I think maybe even a touch more athleticism than Gaetans had. Gaetans turned in by a senior year just to be an incredible shooter. We saw that play out early in Fran's tenure that senior year. But you know that's the kind of guy that they have here. That'll help, but they still need a point guard. They still need somebody at the very least to help Bohannon.
So let's just say we know what we have coming in. Right. First of all, what do you think of Weisskamp handle?
Weisskamp,
is he going to help there at all?
In what? Sorry.
As far as his handle, his ball.
Well, he's not a point guard. No. He's not a point guard.
So it's not helping there?
No, not at all. No, he's not a point guard. Yeah. And if you put him at the point guard spot, and again, we get into the same thing, he's not a point guard. Just like
right.
I didn't think Jordan Bohannon was a point guard, a full-time 30-minute-a-game point guard. And I still don't think they can do it. You can play Bohannon. If you're playing him 30 minutes a game, you know it'd be great if you had a guy that could play 15 minutes as a point guard, and then he plays 15 minutes as a point guard and 15 as a two guard. You can do that. You can get away with that.
Sure.
The thing that still annoys me, still just drives me crazy, last year, bad defensively. Bad defensive team. We see this. You have so many big bodies. So many big guys on this team, and Tyler Cook is very important. You want to keep him on the floor, but you have so much depth up front, and you're getting beat off the dribble. Tell all those guys, every one of them, from Cordell Pemsel, who has a chip on his shoulder and plays with a little bit of an edge, from him to Ryan Kreener and on, and Garza and Nungy and all these big guys, and Ahmad Wagner, when somebody gets by and somebody's going up for a layup or a dunk, hit them. Make them earn it, because you have depth. What are the strengths of this team is the depth of the team. At least we thought it was going to be that this team is deep. If you have depth on the team, if you're able to get away with it, then use it. Use it and go up there and have the guys earn it at the free throw line. Add something, because this team's not going to be known good defensively. There is not. They're going to be a bad defensive team. But if you have that in the back of the minds of some people, you know what? If I'm going in hard and I'm going to blow by these guards, and well, that'll be easy. But you know what won't be easy? Finishing at the rim, because somebody's coming there and they're going to clock me. At least add that dimension to it, and they're not doing it. They're not doing it. They let them blow by. The help is late, and it's an easy layup time in and time out.
And you're right, Trent. Pemsel's the guy, right?
Yes.
Did you see him get freaking? Now, this is why I want to be a ref. I want to go to refing school. I want to know this. Could they have reviewed that even so they didn't call a foul on that pick where Pemsel got absolutely elbowed to the neck? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever been elbowed in the face or the neck. That doesn't tickle. That's how tough that guy is. So you bringing up Pemsel, you know, if you're going to bring it to the rim, you're going to, you know, I like that. I like you bringing up Pemsel. But for God's sakes, it's the defense is pathetic, and they let, no matter if it's man or if it's zone, everybody gets into the lane. What happens when you get into the lane? Everything goes bad. And it's to the point now where it's laughable. I'm sitting there watching it, Trent, with the DVR, and I rewind and I go, how did that guy get to the basket that easy? And I watch it four times, and I still don't know how easily he got there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's pathetic, Trent. It's just absolutely pathetic, and it's time for guys, all us Hawkeye fans have your back right now, because that reffing was horrible. and I love his sons having his back, and I love Fran having his players back. That's great. It's all fine and dandy. But, man, if I were Fran, this is what I'd tell him, and he wouldn't listen to me for all. I'd hand out mirrors to everybody on the team.
Mirrors?
Yeah. I'd say, look in the mirror.
Oh. Oh, you're going a little deep here, a little philosophical.
All right. Dr. Phil is sitting next to me, all right?
Uh-huh.
And Tiff loves Dr. Phil. I can't stand any of that crap. But actually, I do. Actually, I like that. What am I saying? I do like that. But I did. You know what I'm saying? They have to take ownership of what's happening. And everybody in every line of work or whatever has to do that eventually, whether it's sales, radio, you know, whatever it is. Selling cars, whatever. Nurse. You have to take ownership of what's happening, and they are not. It sounds like, you know, you saw Bohannon's tweet. That can't happen. You got get off Twitter, please, Trent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's because that just makes me think that they're not looking at themselves and seeing what can happen. Are they not seeing how easily those guys are getting into the lane? It worries me. And you see Chad Greenway tweeting. I love it. I love us sticking up for this guy when we're getting screwed, but... And he's calling the refs DBs. Did you see that, Chad Greenway?
Yes, I did.
I mean, there's nothing better than an all-pro calling refs DBs and tagging the Big Ten. I mean, that's funny to me. I love it. But at some point, you got to look in the mirror. Hand out some mirrors, friend.
Hand out some mirrors. There it is. The words from Wolfgang. Well, it'll be Illinois up next. Two teams without a win in conference play, Wolfgang. Anything else that you wanted to touch on? Anything else that's rattling around in your brain before we run out of time with you today?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Just talk more basketball, actually. Just talking with friends, like I told you, that I know and I love, but I'm just not, you know, on a day-to-day basis with them friends anymore. I'm sure you have guys like that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
That you know, and they come in and out of your life, you know, months on end. And I'm talking to a guy that I respect that knows a lot about basketball. And he's, like, tweeting at me saying, Fran needs to be gone in 2000. He'll be gone in 2019. I just can't see that. I can't see him being gone with what we have bringing in. If we get a fifth-year grad point guard, we will be awesome next year, right?
If it's a good one, if it's a guy that can play, possibly.
Well, does it even need to be a really good one? With Connor, with what we saw and his ability to play, does it even really have to be a great one? I mean, a decent one, right?
Sure, a decent one. Maybe a guy that can galvanize this team, more importantly. Maybe not even the play on the court, but a guy that can be a leader, because there's times where you wonder where the leadership is also with this team. That could help, yeah.
God, it's maddening, Trent. So... anyway, yeah, look for the podcast, Hawkeye Nation. I'm doing one tonight, and I'll probably even be more mad because I'm gonna go rewatch the game now, Trent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna bring you up, and I'm gonna pump this show. But yeah, if you thought I was pissed right now, actually, I probably can't do that, can I, Trent?
No, you can. You'll be
good. It's Hawkeye Nation. I mean, they've never told me what to say, but I gotta be a little worried, right?
No. There's plenty of frustrated people. They'll be the pom pom waivers. That'll get on you. Don't worry about them. Go out and do your thing, Wolfgang.
Okay, I'm gonna be me. Peter Jock, best Hawkeye basketball player ever.
Ever. The difference between a winless team and a 10-win team last year in the Big Ten. With that, we're out of time. We'll talk to you later, Wolfgang. Be good.
Thanks, brother. See ya.
That's Wolfgang Hawkeye checking in here. Jimmy B joins the fray, coming back on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. Jimmy B and TC on 1700
KDTV. All right, we're back one final time. Jimmy B and TC, good to hear from Wolfgang. And get ready for the national title game tonight, Jim.
And, well, of course, you took Georgia on Friday. You know, you said a little bit earlier in the program, maybe you'd revisit that a little bit more, but
mm-hmm.
you might need to revisit. You went 0-4 on your picks, and we got a new leader. That's right, folks. I have finally overcome Jim Brinson, and I have the lead as we go into the championship game tonight.
Now, wait a minute. It took you all the way here to catch me.
Right. It's over the course of the football season, though. You don't get points for having the best record through November. There's nothing like that.
Uh-huh.
All it is all-encompassed the whole season long, and I am now the leader.
So during the regular season, in other words, it's kind of like the National Championship Playoff Committee, regular season now means nothing.
That doesn't mean anything because you still get those points. You still get those wins, but you've fallen apart.
And I'll probably get whooped tonight. But I can't go off my pick, Trent. I've got to stay with who I selected.
You're going down that road. Hey, speaking of that, did you see the college slate for this evening in basketball tonight?
No, I did not look at it.
It's ugly. It is incredibly Everyone stayed away from the national title game.
Yeah.
So this is what we're going to be served up. All right, we got a bunch of Patriot League games, Army, American, Lehigh, Boston, Bucknell, Lafayette. Let's see, what else do we got here? Got a little SWAC action, a little MEAC, Florida A&M, Coppin State. Hey, these games aren't even lined. This is how bad it is tonight. I'm looking for action. That means I'm just going to have to jump in a bunch of props or something tonight to hit my fill along with my Alabama bit tonight. But college basketball, a brief respite this evening, and then we'll get back into it starting on Tuesday. Anything else, or it is all national championship for you tonight, Jim?
No, I'm going to NBA games as well, particularly if this game turns out bad. If it goes south in a hurry for one of these teams, I'll probably sample a couple of NBA games this evening.
No, I don't.
Your team is hosting Cleveland tonight.
I will not watch a second of it. I'll watch the highlights.
Minnesota T-Wolves hosting Cleveland.
Not a second. No way. Not in a night like this. It is the capper of college football. I'm not going to waste my time watching one of 82 NBA games. I will be watching the national championship tonight. Jimmy B, you enjoy it, my man. We will talk again tomorrow.
We got it, pal, and we are done. We'll see everybody again tomorrow on the Big Talker 1700.